Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Amerigo Resources conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Aurora Davidson. Please go ahead, Ms. Davidson.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the fourth quarter and full year 2009 investor conference call for Amerigo Resources Limited on Friday, March the 5th, 2010. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information because they involve unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued yesterday and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including the company's annual information form, under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections that are reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. We undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements or information that will be made in this presentation. I would now like to introduce the company's chairman, Mr. Stephen Dean.
Thank you, Aurora, and welcome everybody to our 2009 full-year results call. I'd just like to make note that our president, Dr. Klaus Zeitler, is here with me for the call, and of course you've just heard from Aurora Davidson, our chief financial officer. I'd like to open my remarks by with some comments on the earthquake in Chile. Clearly, it was a most tragic event for all the people of Chile, and our sympathies and compassion are extended to everyone in that country that have been impacted by such a tragic event. I am, however, pleased to report that, to the best of our knowledge, there were no serious injuries to any of our staff or their families as a result of the earthquake. The MVC plant suffered no material damage to our knowledge. Dr. Zeitler will give a more detailed report on our observations of the impact of the earthquake generally across the country, as well as the impact on our operations a little later in the call. With respect to the 2009 results, most of the numbers speak for themselves, so I don't intend to talk to the specifics, but what I would like to do is offer some insights into what the numbers are saying and what we as management are observing about the trends and changes in our business. As I said in our press release, 2009 was very much a year of two contrasting halves. If you recall, the first half of 2009 had us dealing, along with a number of our industry peers, with the fallout of the financial crisis in late 2008, which occurred in late 2008, generating low copper and moly prices, low production due to the shutdown and reconfiguration of the old tailings extraction, and our efforts to restore our balance sheet due to the impact of the metal pricing adjustments. And the effect that had on our balance sheet. And, of course, our work to reduce operating costs during that first half from the days of higher metal prices, where our efforts were mainly concentrated on renegotiating some of our key input costs, reducing operating and maintenance costs where possible, and, of course, and most importantly, receiving the full benefit of lower power costs as a result of the downturn in the first half. The second half, quite a contrast, as the numbers will portray, we had a return to profitability with earnings of just over $7 million in the second half and an operating cash flow of just over $11 million, due mainly to a series of factors. Firstly, higher copper prices, lower costs, and an increase in our production due to the, our management delivering on the ramp-up of our tailings extraction, of our old tailings extraction, to an annualized rate, a daily rate, I should say, of 30,000 ton a day extraction, with the newly designed extraction methodology implemented in the first half. The overall result for the full year, of course, was a modest profit for the full year of 2009 of around $45,000. The outlook is tempered for 2010, is tempered, of course, by the fallout from the tragic earthquake with its consequential downtime at the plant. But nevertheless, 2010 still stands out as a very positive year going forward for the company. Dr. Zeitler will elaborate on our updated production outlook for 2010 and in particular any impact that it might have on our guidance for the full year and for the first quarter. But with our strong cash position of just under $18 million, higher copper and moly production forecast for the year, and the prospect of moly prices continuing to rise during the course of this year, they have somewhat lagged the recovery in metal prices. But as observers will know, moly prices are back in the area of $17 to $19 a pound. And of course, one new development on the front of that metal is the recent quotation of moly as for good delivery on the London Metal Exchange. All of this, and the higher moly price, I should say, will potentially generate meaningful byproduct credits to our cash costs. But all of these factors bode well for a stronger 2010. At this point, I'd like to hand the call over to Dr. Zeitler, and he'll tell us a little bit more about what's happening underlying in our production base, and of course, an update more specifically on the earthquake.
Thank you, Stephen. Well, you recall that we gave some guidance with respect to production in our production release of January 26, where we said that copper production for the full year is projected to be 47 million pounds, which is about 20% higher than our actual production in 2009. And we also said in that release that, of course, the first quarter, as usual, will be significantly lower than average. However, at the same time, significantly higher than the first quarter of 2009. Now, of course, the earthquake will have an effect on the production in our first quarter because we were shut down by the earthquake last Saturday, due to the fact that there was damage done to the tailings channel downstream from our plant to the final tailings disposal in Karain, we were not able to start up production until probably at exactly this time. I was talking to our people in Chile, and they were awaiting word from El Teniente that the repairs on the tailings line have been finished today. If that is in fact the case, then we will be starting up production from our plant today again. This means that we will start both production from fresh tailings as well as production from old tailings. The production from fresh tailings will continue to be limited again for a few more days because the part of the tailings line which is the diversion from the main tailings line of El Teniente to our plant, which is built as an aqueduct, has also received some damage. Four or five of the pillars which carry the tailings line have been damaged so that the amount of tailings going through that part of the tailings line is somehow limited, but we expect to have the repairs to these pillars done in the next few days, so that after that we can produce at full capacity, which means at full capacity from what we get from El Teniente. El Teniente also is at this point still somehow limited. They are producing in the range of 80 to 100,000 tons of tailings. And again, our information is that they will come back to their capacity of an average 130,000 tons in the next few days. So in total, I would think that we will lose somewhere between 7 and 10 days of full production, which will impact us by about 500 tons of copper or 1 million pounds, which is of course in the big picture of our forecast production of 47 million pounds not too serious. However, it will certainly impact our first quarter. I would expect that our first quarter will still be higher than our first quarter last year, but perhaps not as significantly higher as we originally thought. Talking about the earthquake, the earthquake was, of course, about 200 kilometers, the epicenter was about 200 kilometers south of our plant, and I think different from what the general impression here is, the loss of life and the loss of property has been mainly done by a tsunami which followed the earthquake, and I think that has not been properly disseminated. That information has not been properly disseminated in the news releases. The earthquake produced a tsunami which immediately went to the coastal towns and villages about 1 hour after the earthquake, with wave heights of between 10 and 18 meters. And that was the main reason for the massive destruction of cities like Concepcion and Constitucion and major damage in the region of Mauli. However, I think the Chilean people being used to earthquakes will, in my view, recover pretty soon, and I would expect that life will, you know, come back to normal, with the exception of the immediately impacted area will come back to normal. There was some damage also in the city of Santiago, and the airport of Santiago was and in my opinion still is closed for all for most of the traffic. Lanchili has some flights which are going to Santiago. However, they dispose of the passengers and other airports, and they just go there for refueling and for picking up crews. So that will take still some time to normalize. I was just down in Chile, and I was very lucky to just come out of Chile 2 days before the earthquake hit. So I did not experience the fear and the anxiety which all of our employees did. The earthquake was very powerful and lasted for over 3 minutes, and was followed by more than 100 aftershocks. And you may have heard that just yesterday there were more very serious aftershocks of above 6, with a power of 6. I think that's all I have to say about production. I will certainly be happy to take any further questions, as of course Stephen is.
Thanks, Lars. Operator, we can now open it to questions.
Certainly. For telephone participants, if you are on a speakerphone today, please lift your handset before making a selection. You may press star 1 on your telephone keypad to ask a question, and if at any time you wish to cancel your question, you may press the pound key. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while participants register for questions, and we thank you for your patience. The first question will be from David Shapiro in Arlington. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Hello?
Yes.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon. We're all happy to see that the employees are safe, and we wish all of them luck in rebuilding from any damages.
Thank you.
Just a question regarding I joined a little late, so I'm not sure if this was addressed. I just wanted to see where your hedge book currently stands.
We have 800 tons per month hedged for the months of March, April, and May, and that's it. And the hedge is a zero cost hedge of 260 and 320.
Okay. You know, I'm taking a look at the company's really making some great progress here as far as expanding production. It seems like you guys are sort of finally hitting your milestones. Obviously, your fixed cost spreads are getting better, as was noted in your financials. we take a look at where copper is right now, it's in the, you know, the mid $3 range, and we take a look at where the stock is, and at these prices, assuming, you know, you could, that these prices existed for the foreseeable future, it seems like the company is trading at an extremely low multiple of cash flow right now, or projected cash flow. And my question is, when do you think the company is going to take a more aggressive stance regarding hedging so that they can really lock in at least a multi-year period of solid cash flow to, you know, perhaps, you know, make a substantial share repurchase or dividend?
David, this whole hedge policy discussion is a good one. The research that we've done tells us that a vast majority of our holders and potential holders would like to hold our stock because we are a copper producer and we are therefore exposed to the copper price movements. You will recall that when we started to hedge, it was on the basis that we, in order to make our way through the pricing adjustments that we incurred at the end, towards in the last quarter of 2008, we incurred a fair amount of debt, and our operating costs were not down to levels where we would like them. Power costs were still high, and moly price was low. We're therefore generating a relatively low byproduct credit. Our cash position was also very low. We're now in quite a different position, albeit in a fairly short period of time. We're now in a fairly different position where we do have a much stronger balance sheet. We have a cash position of just under $18 million. We see the outlook for our costs to continue to trend lower with power at around 8 cents a kilowatt hour going forward for the next couple of years at least. So the impetus to protect our operating base is and make sure that we meet our commitments, both capital as well as debt repayment, is not as strong as it was. And so whilst we have not closed the door on this question, at this stage, we are reluctant to be adding to our hedge position. I think there are a number of industry analysts out there that believe that there is still further legs to this copper price, not just because of the supply-demand equation, and mainly the supply equation, by the way, in the next year or two, which will drive the price higher. But also, there's a number of parties out there that believe that simply a softening dollar will see the price rise. So that's a long way of explaining to you where our thinking is, what our thinking is. We haven't closed the door on additional hedging, but at this stage, we aren't rushing out there to put new hedging on.
Understood. Let me throw out just a quick few comments, and then I'll open the line to someone else. One on the hedging. You know, it seems like if you preemptively hedge when commodity prices are generous as they are now, you don't get yourself into a position where essentially your lenders force you to put on hedges at unattractive pricing. It's almost sort of that in our minds, the company should take a contrarian approach, hedge when commodity prices are high and protect yourself, and then when commodity prices are low, leave yourself exposed to the upside. I mean, it seems like to me that the company is not taking a contrarian position on that to maximize value. Another thing that we're also looking at from our point of view as shareholders is we believe the company is capable of producing perhaps $50 million of EBITDA, and you're looking at a market cap of slightly over $100 million. I mean, we're looking at 2x cash flow here just by hedging out maybe 50 or 60% of production, the company has a chance that they could repurchase the entire share block in an amount of 2 years and create tremendous accretive value for shareholders. So we just throw that out there as shareholders that, you know, hedging to us seems to make sense when commodity prices are high and not the other way around. And then the last position being, you're a higher cost commodity producer, you have very high fixed costs in your business, and, you know, your cost of producing copper is well in excess of like a Freeport MacMoran or a lower cost copper producer who can afford to be unhedged. So as a marginal cost producer, it seems like to us, hedging is probably a more rational approach, at least for half the production or something. I'll leave it at that, gentlemen, and I thank you very much, and good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question will be from Stephen Autridge from Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, gentlemen. One little point, the Santiago Airport apparently is opened as of yesterday. Air Canada resumed flights as of Thursday. The other point is, though, I'm just trying to understand with El Teniente. El Teniente is now up and operating almost right away. Where were their tailings going if the tailings flumes were broken?
We have accommodated them, and we have dug an emergency channel immediately after the earthquake in the back of the Colibas tailings pond, and these tailings are deposited now in one part of the Colibas pond, which we are not operating, and which we are not operating at the present time.
Okay, so that's exactly what El Teniente wanted, was it not? To have a place for emergencies to put stuff as you take it out, take the old tailings out of Colibas.
Yes.
So I guess the plan there is absolutely working.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was the thing that would concern me somewhat there. The other thing is, too, obviously, as the last caller said, cash will be building up at a rapid rate. Do you intend, once the cash has been built up on the balance sheet, to resume the dividends like you had them before and resume a dividend policy?
Yeah, that's certainly something that we will be looking at. It's still relatively early days, of course. We still have a fair amount of indebtedness incurred from last year still sitting on the balance sheet, although, as you point out, it is coming down at a fairly good rate. But it is something that we should revisit later in the year.
Okay, good. A lot of my clients seem to like to have dividend flows, and you can buy Bell Canada, but why not buy Amerigo when the cash is there? So that's why I like it. Okay, thank you.
Well, we understand that. I like dividends too.
Good. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question will be from Miro Vukumanovic from Toronto.
Hi, Stephen. Hi, Dean. Just wondering on your 2010 CapEx number, you've pointed to $9.3 million. Can you just give us a sense what this is earmarked for?
There's one portion earmarked for the further expansion of the extraction at the old tailings, where we have to do various things in order to be able to extract up to the 45,000 maximum tons according to our contract. We, for instance, have to build another small dam. We need some more equipment. Some other capital is required for a classification of tailings. And the reason we need that is because we want to classify tailings into the coarse portion and the fine portion right at the old tailings pond, so that we can redeposit the fines there and just use the coarse portion. And that is a requirement which we have from El Teniente. It also reduces the amount of tailings recirculation, which we have to do. There is some small capital required for finalizing the power plant to be able to have it connected to the central grid. And Aurora, remind me, did I forget something? No, I think
that's
it.
The majority of it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it from my part. I'll pass it on. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question will be from Raymond Goldie from Toronto. Please go ahead.
Good morning, lady and gentlemen. And my question was for Dr. Seitler. You'd mentioned that the tsunami was much more devastating than the quake itself, and I wondered if you had any views whether any damage to ports could have an impact on your company.
I don't think it will have an impact on our company directly, Ray, but I mean certainly the port down in Concepcion has major damage, and it could have an impact on for instance coal deliveries or oil deliveries. And that could have an impact on power costs. But I don't have specific information about that. But with respect to our production in terms of concentrates, as you know, they stay in Chile. And any product which would then go out as copper metal would be delivered either from Valparaiso or from further north, and these ports have not been damaged.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I suppose following up, I could ask a question about, as you mentioned, the your two concentrates you produce both stay in Chile. Is there any concern about road damage or damage to the smelters, roasters themselves?
Again, the roads from Rancagua north are in good shape.
Thank you.
So, yeah.